Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL. 92.5 FM, brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day!
Woo-hoo! Yeah!
Hump Day!
Yeah!
Hump Day!
Yeah!
Hump Day!
Even from the studio, we're not even there. We still get the Hump Day.
I just told him we were here. I think that Country probably figured it out by now.
He probably figured out we weren't in the studio.
I just saw a text from him. He was like, "Hey, are you at OP today?" Like, it turns out, yes, we are.
You should have said, "Yeah." You should have said,
"Sorry, Country.
What day is today?"
Yeah, exactly. It's Hump Day. Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss. Jordan's filling in for yes.
Yeah.
Jordan's filling in for Dustin. And, of course, we have Tom over here hanging out with us and Country in the booth. And, yes, Country, we are at OP. So thank you for checking on us to make sure we're alive.
Yeah.
Nice. We got a fun night for you guys. So we're out here at Best Bet Orange Park location. So if you're not familiar with that, we are just over the Buckman Bridge. And if you head south on 17, we are right there, about like two blocks down on the left?
Just a little ways down. Can't miss it. Great big building that says Best Bet on it.
So, Frangie did his show here, and of course, we are live, and we're down on the race floor. So, boss, I know there's some fun, exciting things that are happening here, which brings us to the card room. So, this weekend, sounds like you guys have a pretty big weekend as far as a race day Saturday. Is that right?
There's a big race Saturday night. The Patton race
So, the James Patton.
James Patton, right.
Yeah, so James Patton, and he was... So he's somebody who assisted and helped build the Jacksonville Kennel Club. The Jacksonville Kennel Club in Orange Park here opened in 1946, and he had a career in racing that started in like the 1940, 41-ish or something from what I gather. And his career started by selling greyhounds to the Jacksonville Kennel Club.
Wow.
And so that's where his career kind of kicked off, and he did his service within the military, so he went away for a while. When he came back, he ended up becoming the president of the Jacksonville Kennel Club in 1967. So that is kind of a tiny fraction of his history here within your guys' organization.
Sure.
So this race on Saturday is sounds to be like it's a tribute to part of something that he's been a piece of here for, I mean, how many years is that? Somebody do the quick math check on me.
Long time.
67? Yeah, like what is that, 40-something years?
60.
50-something years? So, yeah.
Yeah, 50, 60 years. So, and there'll be fireworks. It's a big deal. So, it's a big race or a big card, I guess, Saturday night. Starts at, I think, 7-ish. Starts around 7.
Okay. We got food, and drinks,
we got food,
races,
drinks, fireworks.
Fireworks is going to be spectacular. So
yeah,
that's
it's going to be great. Come on out.
And the track is always a beautiful place to bring your family. Of course, it's a kid-friendly environment, family-friendly environment. So you can come down onto the race level. You can have some hot dogs. You can watch the Greyhounds race live. And, of course, also you can watch the simulcast on Greyhounds as well as thoroughbreds and stuff throughout the country. So you can participate in that. And, it's kind of interesting because we don't get to do the show live from here very often. Traditionally, when we are doing something for our show, we happen to be in the Jacksonville location.
Right.
Because usually we're talking about all things poker, but there is a lot of cool race stuff going on. And as we're kind of closing into the end of the year, for those, I know people are thinking, oh, I didn't even realize racing was still going on. But racing, you guys are slated for your final race to run in December.
Yes, December 5th.
You know, now's a really good time to say, hey, maybe this isn't, take the opportunity, right, to come out and experience the racing, even whether you do it by yourself or with your family. But it's not going to be here much longer. So if you want to be a part of that history and be able to say that you were part of that and belong to that, Saturday's a really good time to come out and bring the family and enjoy some of that racing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as we talk about legalization of racing or things going away and changing, it looks like New Jersey is talking about trying to legalize wagering on college sports. Now, this is fun because it sounds like what motivated this was the NCAA announced that in 2025, the men's basketball tournament was going to be held in Newark.
It's not legal now to bet on college sports?
Not college sports. So actually, the only place you can bet on college sports is Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Mississippi. Those are the only three states.
I had no idea.
I didn't know that either.
The provision. I thought if you could bet on sports, you could bet on sports. I didn't realize that there were the interesting.
So three states, evidently, and New Jersey's trying to jump on that bandwagon as well so they can capitalize on the revenue, right, that they plan to have coming in 2025. So that's kind of fun and an interesting change. And what else is interesting is the way that the legislation is written. It sounds like they're talking about any sports team within the Garden State or any state school. So does that qualify as like, could somebody start betting on high school? Can you start putting a line on high school?
I don't know.
Like, what does that look like?
Maybe.
I feel like that would be trouble, but maybe just depending on how it's written, somebody's liable to dive into that gray zone.
I'm sure there's lines on college or high school football somewhere.
Yeah, for sure, probably. So that's kind of fun. And Colorado also just had a big thing that happened to them. So they've had a $100 max bet. In the state of Colorado, it started as a $5 max bet. It changed to $100 many years later, and they just now have passed that they are going to lift that $100 max bet in the three cities which they allow gaming. So that is Blackhawk, Central City, and Cripple Creek.
Correct.
So right now it's a max of $100 bet, which is weird for poker because when you try to play no limit, it's really just spread limit.
Right. So they pretty much don't really play any no limit poker in Colorado. Mm-hmm. They have some weird spread limits.
It's
I'm
like
sure.
2 to 500, 2-5 to 100, or yeah, 2-5 to 100 or something weird like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 5 to 100 spread limit, mm-hmm. and they play a lot of other large limit games, like 40-80 if they want to play a big game, or 30-60, or they could play 50 and 100.
So what's interesting is they have to actually declare what they're going. It sounds like they have to declare what they want the limit to be. Like, I don't think they can just remove it.
Oh, really? It's not just, okay, remove all limits.
It sounds like they
have to pick a new limit.
It sounds like they can't remove the max entirely, but they can pick a new limit. So that could be an astronomical amount, right? Like, we're going to make that limit
100,000.
100,000. Then effectively you're playing no limit hold'em in the smaller games. Right. You could very easily exceed that if you were playing a larger limit, no limit game, right? Or a larger buy-in.
Yeah. Sure. Very large buy-in, yeah.
But it could happen.
It could happen. We've had them here, so.
So here's my question. So Colorado has always been or has developed this place where people want to go. They flock there, right? Like there are so many people there. It's beautiful for so many reasons and lots of things that have taken people there. So do you think that this is something else that's going to drive tourism to those areas by simply that small change, or do you think that it won't really do much at all?
You know, it's hard to say. You know, for a lot of aspects of the casino, raising it from 100 doesn't really change much. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're not going to go, oh, that's great, now I can play high limit slot machines and put in $400 a pool. Mm-hmm. Right? That's pretty rare. Mm-hmm. Same with table games. Table games, it'll change, right? Now people can bet more than $100. So I guess that'll be beneficial. A lot of people will like that. And definitely poker. Now you can or you will effectively be able to play no limit rather than just a weird spread limit or a big limit game. So will it drive a lot of tourism? I think so, yeah. I think it'll increase the business overall.
It's kind of interesting because this is sort of the next step, I feel like, for Colorado. They take this step, they remove the limits, and now do they start talking about expanding gaming? Because that's really the next leap, right? Like,
right.
Once they've removed the limits, now they start talking about, okay, let's see, like, what impact has this had on this particular city? And right, and then they start talking about, should we move it into Denver or other areas? So it'll be interesting to kind of see what happens with the gaming market in Colorado in the next, you know, 5 years even. I think just with that small change,
probably.
Like it's potentially, like it could potentially grow.
I started in this industry in 1991 in Central City.
And here you are.
And here I am. As a blackjack
dealer. Talking
about
Central City.
It was $5 maximum bet then.
Yeah.
And I dealt blackjack, $5 maximum bet. It was fun. But talking about expansion of gambling, they've even when I lived there, they talked about bringing it into Denver and putting it downtown or putting it somewhere else. But what they did was revitalize three towns that were effectively ghost towns. Mm-hmm. They were historic mining towns that were dying off and effectively going away. And they said, well, we're going to give you gaming to, quote, preserve the mining town.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just changed it completely. It went from an old mining town to a little strip of casinos.
Mm-hmm.
But if they expanded gambling of any type in Colorado to other cities, those Central City Blackhawk and Cripple Creek would become ghost towns again, because they're a little off the beaten path.
Well, one of the things that happened in the legislation that they were allowed to now use the tax dollars for is community colleges, which I thought was interesting. I was like, I don't know a lot about where the dollars are allocated or whatnot from the casino revenue market, but you would think that wouldn't be like that would be obviously that would be what would happen, right? Of course it's used for education, but I suppose if you think about those small towns, like, they don't have community colleges, do they really? Like, does Cripple Creek have a college? Does Blackhawk have a college?
Nothing in Blackhawk, Central City, or Cripple Creek other than casinos.
Right. So
there's not even a gas station.
So now they have a community college and casinos. What does that look like?
I don't know. I mean, when I was there, literally, that was the complaint of there was some locals who lived there. And they said when the casinos came in, all of a sudden now there's not a store, not a gas station, nothing.
Yeah,
because every spot was taken up by a casino.
I know, it's crazy. Well, as the casino industry continues to expand and we see what things are happening and through the pandemic, things are changing, obviously, but it is nice to see that there is some growth and to know that the industry is sustainable. So we'll be following and watching that. But we have some fun things to talk about. Negreanu and Polk hit the felt.
Actually hit the felt
and then hit the virtual felt. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and what their battle looks like, how they got off the felt, how they started, and where that is going. That and more. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Jordan filling in for Dustin tonight. So as we're coming back here, we've been obviously, most people have been highly anticipating this heads-up grudge match between Daniel Negreanu and Doug Polk, right? And this has been something that has been blown up on the Twitter airwaves. They've been at each other's throat. There has been so much controversy over this heads-up match as far as, you know, what are the terms? Who's going to win? Like, what, you know, I mean, it's really just been sort of like a toddler fight. Like, actually, I kind of feel like it was like sort of like the election.
It
was so bizarre.
A toddler fight.
Yeah, it really was. I think both of them were upset about things, and so they just went down this road. But so they took to the felt last Wednesday while we were doing our show. I believe they started right as our show was ending. And they were playing that first part live. So they played heads up at an actual table at Aria, and it was streamed from there. They played 200 hands. Now, if you remember, a lot of the topic of conversation is, you know, who's the better player, who has the edge? And Polk is the better heads up player, supposedly, overall. But then also virtually, he has a big edge, right?
Sure.
And so for Negreanu to try to gain a bit of an edge, he requested that some of those hands be played on the felt. Now, what's interesting about that is, so they play the first 200 hands. Negreanu wins 177,000 from the first 200 hands. Now, that's not that much. They're playing 2 and 400, so
$177,000.
$177,000, yeah. So they're playing 2 and 400 are the blinds, so that's not, I mean, it's not, that's a session that's not astronomical, right? And then they go back and then they continue to play online. Now, once they start playing online, it shifts again and Polk goes from being stuck 117,000 to being plus 385,000 in two sessions.
Wow.
Now they are resuming play. In fact, they started about almost an hour ago. I think they started at, it was 2:30 Pacific time. So that would have been 5:30 here.
But I think when they're playing online, I think they're multi-tabling. They're playing two tables
at once. They are playing two tables
so
at once.
So the variance is going to be higher and the amounts are going to be higher than when they were playing live. Assuming they're playing
the same. Of course, and they play faster, right? You don't have to wait for the dealer and the time.
Right.
It's instantaneous.
And that's assuming also that they're playing the same limit online as they were live, which I assume they are.
Yes, they are. They're still playing 2 and 400. They're playing 2 and 400, and they start. They buy in for 40,000, and they are playing on WSOP.com, and they have automatic top offs to 100 big blinds the entire time that they're playing. So they always start every single hand with a minimum of 100 big blinds.
Really?
Yes, you never have less than that. So. Which is actually kind of interesting because it really changes the dynamic of the way that you play because you never really get.
It certainly does, right?
I mean, you get short, but you're not like. It's not like you're dwindling down and then trying to double through. You know what
I mean?
That's
kind of a cool aspect. You're always playing deep stack, 100 bigs deep every hand.
Yeah. And so you play 100 big blinds deep, 100 big blinds deep playing heads up. That's super deep. But here's my question. Is the top off strictly for money? Or is it to try to help keep more of a balance between the two stacks? You know what I mean?
I guess it was probably something just agreed upon to keep it balanced so that there doesn't one person doesn't get a big stack.
Too much of a stack lead, right? So do you think it's more about that or is it the financial piece? That's kind of what I was wondering, because when I think about it, I'm like, well, is this more about like just getting all of the money in the most effective way and as quick as possible?
No.
Or is this more about like keeping the stacks balanced?
I think it's keeping the stack balanced so the play is consistent. So nobody.
Because if you always have 100 big blinds, you're deep, right? So you're never in a situation where you're like, oh, we're talking about a hand that I started and I only had 25 bigs against somebody's 300. It's nope, you always have 100 big blinds. So the theory. Right, your play theory is going to be the same when you enter the hand every single time you start.
Yes.
And that's kind of interesting when you think about it that way.
Right. You're never going to eat. Yes.
Nobody's ever less than 100 big blinds.
No. Nope.
So.
You can only really do that with the online play because it'd be too hard to keep track of.
It would be hard. Yeah, it would be hard to top off like that if you were playing.
I mean, I guess you could. You could sit with your 100K stack and then you could have, you know, half a million sitting over here next to you, and every time you lose a hand,
I was gonna say, I wonder if they did that at Aria. I have not watched any of the match. Have you seen any of it or any of the commentating? Jordan, have you seen any of the stuff whatsoever? No, not at all.
I didn't watch any of it, I just saw updates here and there.
Yeah,
I didn't actually watch. I mean, I guess I saw a few hands because they were both wearing black t-shirts and I think v-necks, so
of course they were.
My guess was that. They both thought, I know he's going to wear a tank top, so I'm going to wear a V-neck.
Dress the same.
And then they both wore the V-neck. I said, he'll be in a black tank top, so
their
I'm going to wear a
black V-neck.
Their publicist
was like, black tank tops, black V-necks requirements to play.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I do want to check and find out if they topped off when they were playing at Aria, because that would be interesting to know, like, be curious how they managed that.
Yeah.
And also,
anybody on Twitch know, any of our Twitch guys know, if you can hear us right now? I know we're having some audio issues on Twitch. Sorry about that. But if you can hear us, tell us if they were topping off at Aria.
So here's the fun. So you remember this past summer, Negreanu was playing during the World Series of Poker. I think it was a World Series of Poker event. And he was playing online. He was streaming. And he came unglued at one of his opponents. Like swearing.
Yeah,
he became irate.
Yeah,
he
during
was
a hand,
like,
yeah.
During a hand, he, like, I mean, just he's on camera, which is, let's be honest, is pretty out of characteristic for him. Like, most people aren't used to seeing Daniel Negreanu come unglued when he loses a hand. That's like
especially while he is
streaming and commentating.
Live.
Yeah, like, that's not normal. So,
not his style, no.
So what's hysterically funny is, what was the guy's name? Thomas Keeling, who took the video of Negreanu, and he extrapolated the piece where he's on camera, like, throwing that fit, and he dubbed it up to one of the hands that Negreanu played against Polk. And what's hysterically funny about it is, like, it's a weird hand where evidently Negreanu has kind of run pretty bad through the first part of this, and he's got coolered several times. And one of those hands...
He ran well early when they were playing live.
Yeah, so...
And now he's not running too well.
So one of those hands is Negreanu picks up an ace-nine, and the flop is...
8-9. Something like that. Not an 8-9, but a 9-7.
He had ace-nine.
Oh, yeah, ace-nine.
I think he had ace-nine. And the flop comes 8-8-5. The turn card is an 8. And the river card is a 9. So Negron, who makes eights full of nines. So really the only thing that beats him at this point is an overpair or the nine, the case nine.
Right, case eight.
Case eight, I'm sorry. Yeah. And so as they go through, and they end up getting all the chips in at the end, and Negron, who loses a hand to Polk's aces. He gets hooded with aces, basically. But what this guy does, what Jimmy does, is he takes that piece of the video from Negron, who freaking out, and he dubs it up with him playing the hand heads up against Polk. And it is, the timing is perfect. It is absolutely tremendous. And one of the things that Negreanu does is he talks about his dog. He's like,
yeah, so he's yelling like, and screaming and cussing. And then his dog, he's like, oh, sorry.
He's like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Fluffy or Fluffy.
Yeah, he's
or
like,
whatever.
He doesn't like the or he doesn't like what happens on the turn. He thinks he gets cold decks. So he like freaks out, like kind of chucks his computer. And then he's like apologizing as the card like is in his favor. Right now the nine comes and he thinks, oh, I have the best hand. So he's super nice. And he's like,
he's apologizing to his dog.
And then all of a sudden you see like the revealing of the hand. So he checks, Polk goes all in, he calls, they turn him over and he sees aces. So he loses to Doug's eights full of aces.
Right.
And you just see him, he gets up, he throws his computer and he kicks his foot up in the air. But he dubs the sound. So it sounds like the dog is whining.
It sounds like he's kicking the dog. Yeah. He's full disclosure.
There was no dog injured in this video.
So, yeah. And I'm 100% sure Daniel did not kick his dog.
No, he didn't. You can see in the video that he's kicking air, but it's hysterically funny. Such a good job like queuing it up. And so Thomas gets like mad points for that video. It's on Twitter. It's literally taken over the Twitter airwaves. So I know Jordan's got the link, so he's going to post it on our Twitch feed as well, which would be kind of fun. Yeah. If you haven't had the opportunity to see it, I'm telling you, watch it. I literally watched it like a dozen times, and it just kept getting funnier.
I cracked up.
It was pretty good. At any rate, so no watching of Polk or Negreanu. So here's my question. What are the odds that either Doug Polk or Daniel Negreanu, at the end of this match, go back and commentate over the entire thing?
Really good.
Because that's what they're both known for.
Really good. That's a very interesting question. Really good for Polk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Daniel would do that. I don't really think Daniel would go over commentate because he's not the, you know, he doesn't have training sites. It's not his thing, really. I don't think he would take the time or have the interest to do that. But Polk might. Polk might go through and commentate over maybe not every single hand.
So now, is he going to take a sample of hands of his own play, of Negreanu's play, of both of them together? Do you think he'll do like one, and then
I think he'll do both. I think he'll take plays where he plays good, plays where he plays bad, or plays where he misreads, and then he'll take a bunch of Daniel's hands and say, here's a hand where Daniel called when I was bluffing and beat me, and here's a hand where Daniel should never be in this spot. He should never make this call. I don't know what he's thinking.
Yeah.
I think he'll do pretty all encompassing. You know what? Remember what Tony Dunst said last week about the best bet? We were talking about which bet, the best bet. How ironic. Here we are. People were getting 4-1 to bet on Daniel and laying 4-1 on Doug. And we were thinking that, you know, maybe that's not the proper odds, yada, yada, yada. Whatever the odds are, who knows? He said the best bet was did not finish. Remember?
He did say that. That's right. He did not finish.
The best bet will be that they do not finish all 25,000 hands. I mean, they're only at about 1,000 or something right now.
Yes. Well, they played the first 200, and then they played another 424 online in 2 hours. So it looks like they're like 700 hands roughly. They're not even that far into it. So,
I mean, they haven't even played 1,000 hands?
No. I mean, they haven't been playing that long. They've only played 3 matches. They've only played two or three times. So
wow.
That's it. It hasn't been that much. But here's what I think would be really interesting. Here's what I would like to see them do. I would like to see Polk do sit down with a sample and commentate over them and talk about his play, talk about Negreanu's play. Maybe he even just talks about his and what he's thinking, right? And he sits down and he's like, he walks you through his thought process.
Yeah.
So you're watching, but you get to actually see what he's doing, but be inside of his brain. So maybe he's like walking you through like a live tutorial of
what I'm thinking
at this moment, at this time. And then you have Daniel who does the exact same thing on his side, and you get to hear what he's thinking. Because what you get to do then is you get to take both of them. They're two players are playing heads up, and you get to hear the thought process behind what each of them are thinking at every
moment.
In
the same hand.
In the exact same hand of two of the greatest players on the planet. And I think that would be really great.
That would be awesome. Hopefully they do that.
I hope that they use...
maybe they can kiss and make up after all this is over, and they can actually collaborate and do that together. That would be really cool.
That would be great.
Not happening.
They could probably make a small fortune just simply by doing that and selling it.
Yeah, they could.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we got more poker to talk about. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss. Jordan hanging out over here live at the Orange Park, Best Bet Orange Park location. So we are just south of 295 off of 17. So if you head over to the Buckman, if you're in Mandarin, you head over to the Buckman, head south on 295, go over to the Buckman, take your first exit, make a left, and we are right there on the left. Not too far down the road. You can't miss it. Lots of fun things going on that we'll continue to talk about as the program goes on. But I also, you know, I don't want to forget that we do have a $50 tournament voucher that I would like to give away to somebody right now. So 641-1010 is the phone number. 641-1010.
Nice.
We will take the fifth caller right now and give you a nice little $50 tournament voucher.
You can use that here at Orange Park. We now have tournaments Sundays at noon and Tuesday and Thursday, I believe. We put the Tuesday and Thursday in. I'll check right now to make sure.
But either way, you can play. You can use that $50 tournament voucher, whether it be for a tournament here in Orange Park or whether you plan on playing a tournament in Jacksonville. It's good at either location. So we look forward to seeing you, hopefully, for a tournament in the near future. So before we took our break, we were talking about the Negreanu and the Polk, much-anticipated heads-up battle. And we were talking about how they top off their stacks to 100 big blinds when they're playing online. Now, there's some things about that I find to be interesting, number one. Number two, there's something that Doug Polk mentioned that I thought was worth pointing out. And he said, quote, he said, just because the number that happens, so right, so Negreanu's plus 117,000, and then he loses, he takes a swing, and he's down 385,000. So it's almost a $500,000 swing.
It's big, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big swing when you think about it. But he says, just because that number is big doesn't mean he's down that much. And I thought, you know, it's a really important thing to remember, which is when you talk about in terms of playing poker, like you talk about terms of how many big blinds did you lose in a session. So when you think about it like that, if they are topping off to 100 big blinds every single hand, that means he can lose $40,000 every single hand he enters. Every hand, a minimum of that much. So with that being said, it's not going to take him that long to go through a $500,000 swing. Right? We're talking about 10 hands. You can lose 10 hands effectively for your entire stack.
I guess,
that's
yeah.
That's not that much. What I thought was nice about that is, you know, people get very discouraged when you're playing and you have a bad day at the table, right? So maybe you sit and maybe you play and you grind out 2-5. And you generally buy into the game for, let's say, between $500 and $800, okay? You buy into the game and you sit down and you do well and you're used to winning around, like, you know, maybe 500 per session. And then you come in one night and you have a really bad night. The game is good. It's fired up. There's a lot of action. It plays a little bigger than you're used to playing, but it's still, the game's good. It's well within your manageability, you know, skill set and financially. So you jump in, you sit down, and you get in the game, and you pick up aces the first hand, and you blow your buy-in. Four people go all in. You run into kings, queens, you get cold deck, bam.
Yeah, you lose.
Okay, you lose. So you rebuy. Next hand, you know, maybe the same thing happens again. And now you're into the game for 1,602 hands. You've literally been at the table for 5 minutes. Is this something that we should be concerned about?
You know, it is and it isn't. You know, I've talked about this before. Sometimes it's just not your night. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of that, not really. It doesn't mean you played bad. It doesn't mean you played good. It just means that, the odds were maybe in your favor, but it didn't pan out for you, right? You ran bad those two hands. And you're supposed to just buy in and say it's a marathon, not a sprint, right? So you just buy in again and sit down, act like you're not stuck to buy-ins, and just play poker. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right. It's easier said than done.
It's easier said than done because psychologically it hurts and you want to do whatever you can to get even. And mm-hmm. you start firing away, which is not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to just sit down, relax, buy back in again, and stay focused on your game. Now, I think being stuck, you know, 300,000 almost, that's what, 8 buy-ins or something like that.
Well, like 12 buy-ins. I mean, it's been, yeah.
I think that's a lot to me.
Well, right, but he's not just stuck. He had a $500,000 swing. So, yeah, he stuck $385,000, but he was also plus $117,000, which is definitely worth mentioning.
I think that's a huge swing.
It is a huge swing
because they haven't even played that many hands.
But is it not manageable? That's the question. Is the swing, and that's what he points out, like it is a big swing. But is it a swing that's so big, like it's in the very beginning stages of their play? It doesn't mean he can't win. It doesn't mean he won't come out victoriously. It doesn't mean that he can't win a tremendous amount of money. So I think what he's pointing out is that, you know.
You think Doug's just trying to make him feel good?
No, I don't. I think that what he said is actually really important because I think people get really wrapped up in that. They're like, you know, I had a bad night. But if you look at it and you say, okay, let's say that they sustain this play for an entire year. Okay. And in this two sessions, this is what he's losing. Right. And if you take the sample of the amount that he potentially could win over the course of a year, this session is a tiny, tiny amount. It's so small. And I think that that's what he's pointing out. And that's what's important.
Well, it is a good point. Because if they haven't even played 1,000 hands and they're going to play 25,000 hands.
Right. It might seem like he's stuck a lot, but it's really not that much.
Yeah, I guess not. I feel like it's a lot. But, I mean, when you put it that way and in the context of time and hands played.
I mean, if you look at it over the course of a year, right, and you say, okay, so at the end of the year, I am plus, and we are looking at it in terms of not money, but in terms of big blinds, because that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to say, if you remove the dollar price tag and you look at it in retrospective,
right,
big blinds, you have a very different perspective on what
that
looks
like. My question is, if they're 100 bigs deep, how often are they just getting it all in?
Well, that's another great question. Like, I don't think that often. I mean, you can't just stuff it with 100 bigs. It's like, I feel like.
No, but not very often. But I feel like lots of hands.
I mean, or maybe you're the guy that once you get like a lead, you just keep like stuff it, and hope to double through once, double through twice, and now you're about like maybe that's part of what they do.
Yeah, but if they're always 100 bigs deep, like you said, it's not. You know, so it's not like you're getting down to 10 bigs to 190 bigs, and you got to double up because. Mm-hmm. You're always 100 bigs deep. Now, you might get stuck 10 buy-ins and think,
which is
whatever.
Effectively what happened.
Which right? is effectively what happened. It was whatever. I'm just going to play super hyper-aggressive and stuff it in every time and just hope to get back a few buy-ins. I don't know. It would be interesting to know how many times they're getting it all in.
The other thing here, too, is like we have to remember that this is a huge pride and ego match. Right. This
More
is
than
not,
the money.
Right. This is not a financial match. This $1.5 million, it literally is nothing. It is like a roll of toilet paper that they light on fire. It means nothing to them. So when you think about it like that, are they playing or is one of them playing like they want to play like perfect poker because they don't want anybody to pull their game apart because there's been all of this conversation about who's the best and I'm the best and here's why I'm better and here's why I'm better than you at this part.
And all the analyst guys are probably watching it and picking it apart.
Right. So do they say, like, these are spots where I can't just do exactly what you said. Just be like, you know what? I don't think, like, forget it. I'm just going to stuff it. Even though the line's not great.
Right.
like, I'm just going to do it, just to do it, just to do it. Or they worry that they're under scrutiny. So are they playing a little bit differently than what they would normally play?
I don't know. I think that they're both experienced enough that they're just playing.
They're just
poker.
Playing. They don't care.
They don't care. I'm sure they care about the money.
Sure. I mean, a little bit.
They
care more about the ego, I think, than anything else.
They both care way more about the ego.
Yeah.
And they've both done very well for themselves. So they don't care about the money because they both have made a lot of money.
It's just the bragging rights, right?
So it's mostly the bragging rights.
They want to be able to come out and make sure that nobody over-commentates on their heads-up match other than themselves saying that they... You know, there was all of this buildup about their heads-up match, and it was just atrocious.
Right.
So they're trying to give a sample of the most perfect poker you've ever seen from two heads-up players in the history of poker, right?
GTO heads-up poker.
Game theory optimal heads-up poker.
That's what they're trying to play. And that's what Daniel was worried about with Doug Polk and his hand starting charts and heads-up charts that he didn't want him to use. And I don't know what they agreed upon. I mean, I don't know how you can tell them not to use it.
They can use the charts. He said that he wouldn't. So they agreed that they could use the charts because they both basically said effectively, like, you could make notes on the other player. So if you can make notes, like, what difference does it make? And that's kind of what they agreed on.
Are they showing whole cards?
Only when they were at Aria.
So they're not showing whole
cards.
They're
not showing whole cards.
So
that's what I'm saying. So if you don't have the ability to see their whole cards, like, are they playing different poker now? Or are they going to come up and say, like, because if you don't see Showdown, right, then.
Interesting.
But if they're streaming, you're going to know. Everybody's going to know. Let's just say you put the picture-in-picture up, which I feel like is what you would do. If both of them are streaming and you could see their cards, that you would want it.
Sure.
So that you could say, okay, we're watching this go down, and here's what Negreanu has, and here's what Polk has.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's happening, though.
We
don't get to see their cards, though.
If they're streaming, you do, because you'll see their screen.
Oh, if they're streaming.
That's what I'm saying. So you would put one here and one here.
I mean, if Daniel didn't want to show his whole cards, he's not going to stream and show them that way.
No, you wouldn't think.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, these guys, like, it's just, it'll be interesting.
How funny would
it
be if they were both streaming, but then one of them forgot to put their stream on a delay?
Streaming in real time and wondering why he's blowing 100 big blinds every 5 minutes.
I don't know what's going on. He's making perfect calls every time.
Do we call this postal heads up?
Yeah, postal heads up.
That's funny. I love it. All right, we're going to take a quick final break, but when we come back, we will talk all things promotions and put a wrap on the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss. And Jordan joined us tonight, wrapping up the program. So we are hanging out here over in Orange Park. So if you've never been over here, now is a good time to come, just as good time as any. And if you can't make it tonight, there is a big weekend here in Orange Park this weekend. So... Saturday, you guys have a nice big
Saturday,
race.
Saturday, the James Patton.
James Patton race is here, happening here again. So
fireworks,
you missed the first part of the show.
Yeah,
James Patton's been a staple in the Greyhound racing in the Jacksonville area. The Jacksonville Kennel Club.
There's also racing tonight. Starts at 7:45.
Yeah, there you go.
Tonight, there's dog racing. You can come on out now. You can go upstairs to the second floor, play some poker for a while, and
so the weather has not, inclement weather has not canceled racing tonight? You guys still have live racing at the moment?
I'm almost positive.
Okay. We'll double check, yeah? Maybe double check, see if it's canceled. But at any rate, it's a great place to come. So this Saturday, there's going to be fireworks, there'll be food, there'll be drinks, there's poker that's on the second floor. If you want to come out and bring your family just to make sure that they can hang out and see live racing, now's a really good time to do that. The final races will happen here in Orange Park on December 5th. So they're slated to run through December 5th, and then after that, the Greyhound racing will disappear. So now's a good time to get in.
Literally disappear. So they are racing tonight.
Okay. 7:45.
Come and get them.
Sounds good. Also, lots of things happening in both poker rooms. Obviously, daily high hands going on. There's a nice live stream happening tonight. So over in Jacksonville, there's a 2-2 game. Dustin will be over there doing the commentating. Remember, if you like to play in those games or on the live stream, you can do that just simply by sending an email to Sage. You reach out to Jesse. If you're not sure how to do that, you can obviously just call the Poker Room and they can help you out. Go to bestbetjacks.com. You can get all of your information there. The Fall Frenzy, too. You guys had a nice tournament. It was the first major tournament that happened at your card room since the pandemic shut down everything in March. And you guys had a tremendous amount of success in October. So much, in fact, that you've decided to redo basically the same tournament, right?
Exactly the same thing. Same tournament on Friday, same tournament Saturday, the same $240 tournament on Friday, same $1,500 on Saturday, and the same $360 on Sunday. And last time we got over 200 players in all three events, and I expect we'll do the same this month.
If not even better, to be honest with you, because there was a lot of people, they were like, oh, I wasn't able to make it for, you know. And so this would be great. So if you're looking for some tournament action or you need to burn up those tournament bucks that we keep giving you guys on the air,
this is definitely
an opportunity to do that. So, you know, Thanksgiving is right around the corner and we're just a short distance away from that. There was no high hams this year, right? No, you guys didn't give away turkeys or?
No hams, no turkey.
None of that stuff.
No, couldn't put it together, unfortunately.
Do you have the Turkey Bowl Deep Stacks?
We do have the turkey. I think it's the eighth annual Turkey Bowl Deep Stack Bounty.
Okay, so this is again another traditional thing that happens the
Thanksgiving
day at what 6 p.m. Is that right?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. So you guys can come after you've had your meals and cleaned up with your family, and you've had enough of all of that stuff. You can head over to Jacksonville and play in that. Turkey Bowl Deep Stacks 8th Annual Bounty Tournament. That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, yeah. But it's a fun tournament. It draws a big crowd. You know, everybody's tired of eating and drinking all day, and they come out and play some poker.
So, obviously, there's a big storm that's kind of hovering over us, and people have been talking about this. Everybody's watching the weather to see if school's been canceled and other things. Do you guys expect to close your properties in the next couple days?
No.
The storm that's coming in?
The only thing that'll close us would be excessive wind if they have to close the bridges. It doesn't look like it's going to hit us that hard. So we should remain open.
Great. So they have nice generators here and a great big bar and plenty of food. So if you're looking for a place to weather out the storm.
We're the safest place to be.
Yeah, you want to be inside out of the rain and in a nice big building that's stable and going to keep you in one place and have some entertainment to go along with that, then Best Bet is definitely the place to be. You can go to Jacksonville or the Orange Park location throughout the entire weekend. High hands going on at both properties. You can get all that information at bestbetjacks.com. That's going to do it for us tonight, but don't go anywhere. End of the night with Rick Ballew is coming up next for Jesse the Boss Jordan. I'm Allie McDeal saying until next time, we hope to see you at the final table. I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please.